Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Oh, baby, thanks for all the calls, asking Baldy anything. A lot to talk about with the NFL draft. He discussed the Rams, the Cardinals. NFC West loading up, man. Cardinals did have a good draft, I believe. Maserati Marvin Harrison, seeing him with his dad, Marvin Sr. And then, of course, the LA Rams. He brought up the two big dogs down on the defensive line, trying to replace Aaron Donald, Blake Corum. We already know Sean McVay's up to something. Seattle's up to something.
He's up to something.
I mean, when you look at the draft overall, when you look at all these teams, who's the team outside of the 49ers, Shasky, where you say, damn, they knocked it out the park?
Well, Arizona, but I thought they had the farthest to go in the division.
Yeah.
Right? The other team that I keep coming back to that I think is a very high-level team is I look at Baltimore, and it just seems like every year they draft a nasty linebacker that I like. You know, they lose Queen. And
yep, to the Steelers.
He was an excellent player for them, and they just always seem to be in the mix. They're also a team that I think that, you know, they value players similar to the way the 49ers do. Mm-hmm. I also look at what the Chargers did, and I look at what, you know, Harbaugh has had success with. Big athletic lineman, Joe Staley, right? Like, I think of Joe Staley's best years coinciding with Harbaugh being here, and Alt reminds me a lot of Joe Staley. I think he's even bigger than Joe Staley. And then they get Ladd McConkley right after that. I think those are two good picks. Those are Harbaugh style picks. And I just think that those fit. And they're going to run the ball down team's throat. And I think that the Chargers did what they needed to do.
Brandon Rice got drafted to the Chargers, son of Jerry Rice. He was not happy about slipping so far in the NFL draft. But he goes to the Chargers with these linemen. They still have Quentin Johnson, the first-round pick from last year. Ladd McConkey going there out of Georgia. You get the running backs here. You got J.K. Dobbins as backup to Gus Edwards. Justin Herbert, obviously, is their quarterback. Cornelius Johnson, a big wide receiver from Michigan. So he went line. He's beefing up the trenches.
The other team that I came away, in terms of like looking at the hierarchy of the NFC, I feel like the Eagles had two great picks back to back. We'll see what the rest of their draft.
I'm surprised you to say the Eagles first.
Well, because they are the team that I think is, you know, we're sleeping on them. I think they're coming this year. They got Barkley in the offseason.
No, nobody's sleeping on the Eagles. I mean,
I think everybody's consensus for Niner fans is like, oh, Detroit's going to be better than the Rams.
I feel like when they got Saquon Barkley, I said, damn.
I haven't seen a lot of people bring up the Eagles. And yeah. I saw them get, you know, the DB from Iowa, and they got the number one overall cornerback. And so, at least on most people's draft boards. Yep. And that was the biggest area of concern. I also still think they need linebackers, but I think the Eagles got the best via free agency in the draft.
Well, think about what they did. So you get Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis back in the middle.
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox retires. They trade Hassan Reddick. So on the ends, I'm a little weary of them saying, okay, I don't know if they have premium edge rushers, but you may not need them if you got Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter pushing the pocket up the middle and you're making a quarterback roll out. That makes Bryce Huff's job easier, right? At defensive end for the Eagles. But then you got N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia. You get Devin White from Tampa Bay. I'm not that high on Devin White. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. But you forget, you still have Darius Slay. and they re-sign C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
Remember, he was there the Super Bowl year. They lose to Kansas City, goes to Detroit. Now he comes back to Philadelphia. Alongside Mitchell, the kid from Toledo, who's tough, and then Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, who we all liked. When they signed Saquon Barkley, I said, damn, Saquon's never... This is like football heaven for him, considering where he came from.
Absolutely.
He's going to have room to roam.
Well, I think about that mesh point gun run thing that Jalen likes to do. I think he's going to have a monster year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm definitely not sleeping on Philly. I think Philly's in for a nice little resurgence.
I agree.
You think about what they did with the coordinators, Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. It's a lot better than what they had last season.
And then I look at Spencer Rattler going to New Orleans. That makes them just a little more intriguing because they're a very boring team to me.
Spencer's something else, isn't he?
But like Derek Carr's boring to me. Like it's just very boring. You know, not a team I fear. I think he could shake things up.
Might take that job.
What about the Bears? What do you guys think? Oh, well, the Bears.
I think they're in a hard division. That's a really tough division. You don't know? Green Bay's ascending.
No, it is. No, it is. But I'm just saying, if there is a perfect situation for a rookie quarterback, like if Caleb has a CJ Stroud type of season, they could be players in the NFC.
Well, Detroit is a double-digit win team, right? I think most
maybe.
People,
maybe.
You think they're taking a step back?
Well, think about the Lions. Chicago should have won that game in Detroit. They were up 12 points with like 4 minutes left. They blew it. Then they come back around a couple weeks later, and they smoked Detroit. I mean, it wasn't even close to Soldier Field.
Okay.
I mean, they took it to Detroit. Took it to them. They go to Minnesota on Monday Night Football. They snuffed them out. They shut them down. They beat them up. The Packers, they play very, very tough at the end of the season, 17-9. They lose that game, obviously. Their defense started to step up. They won four of their last six games down the stretch with basically no offense. Basically no offense. They lost a tough game to Cleveland.
You're talking about the Bears.
I'm talking about the Bears.
Yeah, I'm talking about Detroit is a really, really good team. But I'm saying
I don't think the gap is as wide between Detroit and Chicago. Division games are always different. And Chicago's walking away from last season thinking, we should have swept Detroit. Detroit was not in the game at Soldier Field whatsoever. They got pummeled. And the game in Ford Field in Detroit a couple weeks prior to that, because I remember I had Detroit on some bets here, and I was like, oh, God, they're not looking good at all. They had to rally and come back from dear life to win that football game. Now, you can laugh all you want, Shasky, and then you get Cleveland. Then you get to Cleveland. Cleveland, we all admit, had a very good defense. Chicago controlled that football game. The quarterback didn't make plays.
I understand.
The quarterback didn't make plays.
In the NFL, jumping from, you know, 5 wins up to even 9 wins is a big jump.
It's common, though, in today's day and age. In this league, we see worst to first. We see worst to first.
In that division, I think, doing it in the AFC South for what the Houston Texans did is one thing. I think doing it in that division, you had two playoff teams that won games in the playoffs in that division. I just think it's a tougher division than we're giving credit to. I don't know with Minnesota, though. I don't know. Minnesota, like, we'll see. I don't believe in Sam Darnold at all. So I think, to me, Minnesota is the team that, like, they're going to take a step back. And they were better last year. You know, they fought down the stretch as well. That's a tough division.
It is a tough division, but I think you could make a jump. Houston just made a jump, right?
I know.
Jacksonville made a jump. We've seen Cincinnati making jumps. We've seen Baltimore making jumps. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Today's NFL. All year.
Now you get Roma Dunze. You get DJ Moore. You get Keenan Allen. Those are the three wide receivers.
On paper, they look a lot better.
Caleb Williams. And this defense with Chicago. I think they're going to come in second, at least, in the NFC North. I really do. Now, Green Bay scares me.
Wait, so you've got Chicago leapfrogging Detroit or Green Bay?
I think
Bay.
Detroit takes a step back. I think this is the season Jared Goff turns into a pumpkin and they start looking for a quarterback. Because now the pressure's on him. They got everything, and when it came down to it in an NFC Championship game, who made the plays? Brock or Jared? Jared didn't make the throws. He was short on some. He overthrew one to Gibbs right before halftime. Could have gave Detroit a 28-7 lead.
I'm not selling Detroit stock. I was really
impressed.
I'm
not selling their stock.
With Hutchinson and Gibbs is going to take a step forward.
I'm not selling their stock.
I'm not ready to give Chicago. I'll believe it when I see it.
I mean, their DBs are really good. Jalen Johnson, they traded for Montez Sweat. So that's their second round pick. Their defense is all over the place. I think Chicago takes a step. I think Chicago's going to be second place.
I remember people crushing that Montez Sweat deal and just compared it to the Chase Young one. And Montez Sweat, production-wise,
was
far better than what Chase Young gave.
Nope,
it was because you gave him the money, too, though. It wasn't just you gave him the basically a high second rounder, which was almost like a low first. It's also because you paid him a lot of money before he hit free agency, when you could have just signed the guy in free agency without surrendering the high pick. I mean, that was the algorithm.
No guarantee it goes there, though.
No doubt. Free agency. No doubt.
Dude, you just talk about a perfect landing spot for Caleb.
No, it's a great landing spot.
I mean, you get DeAndre Swift in the backfield. You still have Cole Kmet at tight end. And you got Gerald Everett as your second tight end, who's a great receiving tight end. Not great, but a very good receiving tight end. Those are weapons galore for a rookie quarterback, man. Oh, my Lord.
Do you believe in the coach, Eberflus?
I like Eberflus. He's a defensive-minded coach. They whiffed on the quarterback before, and he was not there for that quarterback when he got drafted.
Well, there's one thing for sure. Someone's taking a step back if they're taking a step forward. And I don't see, like, Green Bay kind of came out of nowhere down the stretch. And to take the next leap forward is difficult. To win double digits year after year after year is hard.
I like Caleb in that division. No, I hear you. Packers are threats. Lions are threats. But I think the Bears, I would not sleep on them. When you have those three wide receivers, oh, good luck defenses. Good luck Detroit defense. That's why Detroit was drafted all those quarters. They knew. Damn, we gotta cover Green Bay's wide receivers. We've got to cover Chicago's wide receivers.
Well, and one of their wide DBs is going to get like outed for being a cheap shot artist.
Yep, no doubt. And then you got Minnesota and Justin Jefferson. So you still got to cover him. That division's really good. I like that division on paper, NFC North. David Frisno, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday. Start of the week, you know. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
You know, these drafts, look, they're always a crapshoot, right? So it's hard to say, you know, feel a certain way about a draft or if they're right or wrong. But I just feel like the Niners, they make it harder than it needs to be. They're good at what they do, but sometimes they make it harder than it needs to be. I think at 31, we could have got much better value. You know, drafting the guy, receiver, who's probably fourth on the depth chart right now, currently speaking, I don't think that's the ideal way to go about it. I think Jackson Powers would have been a great, great pick right there. Kind of like where the Chiefs got Creed Humphrey. You know, a center slash guard is not a sexy position, but when you're picking in the 30s, that's sometimes where they just fall and you get an all-pro caliber player. And I think that would have been a great spot for that, you know. And it's like we always have to, like, talk ourselves into these 49er picks. You know, when we got Pettis, oh, he's going to be a great kick returner. Or he's great in the open field. That's going to be great for Shanahan. And I feel the same way with this receiver. Like, nobody really saw us picking him, but now that we picked him, I feel like we're trying to talk ourselves into, oh, that's a great pick, as where, you know, a lot of these kind of mock drafts and these pundits had these players ranked much higher that we still could have got. Cooper DeJean would have been a great pick. I mean, a lot of people have him as a first-round talent, but, you know, we kind of go against the grain. We don't do what others think we're going to do, so, hey, They all might be fine players. The corner from Florida State, he might be a great. I have no idea. Right. I don't know much about him. You know, they hyping him up because we picked him. But I just think the Niners, they you know, we could have had CD, but we took IU. You know, CD was the more decorated player, but we took IU. They always go against the grain. So, you know, I don't know. Again, drafting receiver, he looks nice, but right now he's fourth on the depth chart. Like, we're really going to keep it real. And he's still got to wait in line behind CMC and Kittle as far as targets. So I just don't think he can help us this year, you know. And I think the plan is to try to win it this year. I think there's better value at 31, and also in the second round we could have moved up because we had three third round picks.
Oh,
so we could have got him and moved up to
get. Well, we don't know what other teams were thinking. What we think it's that easy. Hey, they could have just moved up and got this player and got that player and traded picks. We don't know what other teams were asking for. We don't know what other teams were valuing. We're not inside the war rooms. We're just speculating. We think they could move up, but we have no idea. Here's what Baldy, real quick, Shasky, said about Pearsall. He loves to pick.
I think you'll see it within over the course of the year, and then by next year, you know, one guy is going to be here and one guy isn't going to be here. Right now, it's going to be – it should be highly competitive practices right now. Because I think you're going to see the talent of Pearsall. I think everybody's going to see it. And so this question of how they move them around, can they find a space for all of them? It's just not going to be tolerant that guys are going to be crying for the ball. They're not getting touches. I mean, it's just the ball's going to get spread around, and it's going to go through McCaffrey. That's not going to change. So I'm anxious to see what that roster looks like Labor Day weekend and if everybody that's been here is going to still be here.
So he thinks well, it's going to be a good fit.
Well, but I think the part for me wasn't necessarily about Pearsall, but more about he's basically saying, are we sure a trade isn't going to happen between now and week one? Which I found surprising because I don't see the Niners making a move.
I don't see it.
You know, where you wouldn't be able to help your team out with that draft capital until after the season. I don't know. Because that my question was about, like, you know, the dynamics in the locker room and just this being a run-first team. Is everybody going to be satisfied given what the business aspect of playing?
Well, Shanahan said over the weekend that by day two or day three, they were done fielding offers for Ayuk and Deebo. They heard nothing they didn't want. They were like, we're keeping Deebo, Ayuk.
What did you make of them being so open with the trade discussions?
That's what they do. This is, and I love the transparency. I love it.
You think the players do?
Hey, it's a business. They understand it. Hey, we just lost the Super Bowl. Deebo, you couldn't beat man coverage. We gave you 13 targets. You came up with three catches. Now, however, you could say the offensive line didn't block or Purdy didn't make the right throw or whatnot. You know what? The hell with that. You got to beat man. McDuffie owned him in that Super Bowl. Let's just face it. And I love Deebo.
Yeah.
He owned him. But, so you know what?
Kansas City also owned other teams.
Hey, fellas, we're paying you guys a lot of money. You didn't produce at the highest level. We're going to draft guys who can help us with speed or whatnot, but you're put on notice. If you don't perform, we have out clauses and we will move on. This is life in the NFL, buddy. Not for long.
I just don't. How do I put this? I don't think it's the greatest look that it was so public and out there. Well, and I don't know if they did that by design. I doubt they did. I'm sure that things got out that they didn't want them to get out. But it just, if all things were being equal, I probably wouldn't have had that out there for public consumption as much as maybe, it felt like it was out there.
Maybe they're just playing people for fools. Maybe they're...
So Diana Russini of The Athletic spoke to Deebo over the weekend, and this is what he had to say. Quote, I know what's going on, but it is what it is. I'm good staying with them. I'm chilling. That was Deebo talking to the Niners.
I mean, who knows? Yeah, how he said that. You know what I mean?
He says it in a Deebo, very monotone. Yeah. Doesn't say much away.
They know. Hey, it was out there. It was out there. We're open for business. But isn't that how businesses are successful? You don't not pick up the phone, right?
Yeah, but you don't tell I agree. You pick up the phone, but you don't tell people way below you, like, hey, we were thinking about chopping you, but, we kept you around. No. Like, now that person's got it in their head. So I think it's a slippery slope.
For the right price, you would have been moved.
Well, everyone knows that.
That's what it was. Now we go back to the drawing board. We continue to negotiate with Brendan Ayuk and bring him back. At the end of the day, I'm just happy both of those guys are still here.
No, I would agree with that.
They're both still here. After all the rumors, and I don't know where the rumors came from. Now, I know they were open saying, hey, we're listening to the phone calls. I'm not mad at that. I'm actually not mad at that. As fans, we always complain when they don't say anything and we want to know. When they keep things close to the vest.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes as fans, we're like, well, just tell us. We want to know this. And we pay a lot of money for this. We want to know this. Well, then when they let us know about potential trade rumors, we sit back and we say, well, we don't really like that.
Well, no. Letting the fans know about trade is fine. I'm talking about the human element of going back into that locker room. Like, you're my guy. Even though we tried to trade you, we didn't get exactly what we were looking for, but you're my guy.
No, that's why
I think it's difficult.
When you have constant communication, it's okay. Lynch has said he's had constant communication with Brendan Ayuk. They've had constant communication with Deebo. I'm cool with that. As long as they're communicating with the players. And Deebo said it to Diana Russini. I'm aware of what's going on. I'm in the loop.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I'm chilling.
Yeah, see, like, I get the conversation. In a perfect world, which doesn't exist, but in a perfect world, I would probably try to be a little more tight-lipped on how much we're shopping players out there, because it probably causes more harm if you're not going to execute a trade than good.
Well, I think the media kind of overblew it, too.
Well, that's That's an element
get,
of it.
When you get people writing columns and start talking and start speculating,
fans
and
love then, trades.
And then you're dead wrong when you pivot and you say, "Hey, well, they're actually going to trade this player," and then none of the players get traded. Now you look like a fool.
Well, forget what you look like. I found it quite interesting that both Ayuk and Debo, outside of San Francisco, aren't viewed the way Niner fans view them. Because I know you were saying, I don't think we respect. No, I think we do. And I think other people don't view Debo Samuel the way we do because I think this goes back to Shanahan. Shanahan's so good at what he does. Debo really only works in a couple of places. Well, and this is one of them.
But I also think, too, though, you're so close to the NFL draft and teams have their draft board set up and they know the money element. And they're like, damn, the 49ers just went to the Super Bowl. Why are they trying to trade Debo? Why are they trying to trade Brandon Ayuk? And they're probably thinking, no, we're not going to give these guys compensation because they know what to do with that compensation. We're not going to do that and bite the bullet for some money. Yeah. This is a receiver-rich class for the teams that needed wide receivers. Like Jacksonville, for example. Jacksonville, we could control Brian Thomas Jr. on a rookie contract, bring him down here to Jacksonville. We already know Christian Kirk is our number one receiver. We still have Evan Ingram. We're good here.
Yeah, but see, that you're making my point from months back. There are like a handful of guys at the top who people will trade first-round picks for and extend. Tyreek Hill as an example. Davante Adams as an example. And they will pay them. You know, like, and I, not that I'm hesitant to pay Ayuk or anything. It's just like, that's interesting to know that other teams don't view him in that same upper echelon, you know, top of the market status. I find that interesting.
Well,
from a business standpoint.
No doubt. But like, number one picks are premium. They're the way guys are getting moved, and the Niners probably said, too, we're not settling for a Stephon Diggs trade. We're not settling for any of these trades.
Diggs was traded originally first. And then Buffalo threw the money at him
simultaneously. This past season where he got traded to Houston after another productive season in Buffalo. Let's go to James in San Mateo. James, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'm definitely not a Detroit Lions fan. I'm a diehard Seahawks fan, and I consider myself like a football purist. I know it sounds crazy, but I would rather see my team lose than watch them win knowing they didn't deserve it. With all the talk about Jared Goff maybe taking a step back and all that kind of stuff, yeah, definitely he could. But then again, any quarterback could.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about him overthrowing Gibbs. But let's not forget the throw that he did make to an eligible lineman that the ref blew the call, which would have put the Lions at the number one seed, and the Niners turn around and squeak by Green Bay. So let's talk about all that stuff too, you know?
Okay, we can talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Where Dan Campbell refused to just take the extra point and went for it like four times in a row?
He's gone? He's gone? Oh, he's a Seahawks fan, though, so, you know.
I mean, the Seahawks are an interesting team as well. You know, they're I don't think they're going away.
Why are you shaking your head, Spadoni?
Geno Smith is the quarterback. No one takes him seriously.
Really?
Sam Howell, you scared of him?
No, not Sam Howell. They draft
Come on, let's keep it a buck. It's Geno Smith.
They draft well.
That's why Jared Goff and the Lions aren't going to do anything. That's why Geno Smith and the Seahawks aren't. You need a quarterback. Like, the quarterbacks are down in the NFC still. Like, if Caleb becomes a guy, then maybe. Like, that's why I think there is a thing to be said. If the Bears are good this year and Caleb looks good, then that's another quarterback in the NFC. Like, that you have to worry about. Jordan Love right now, Brock Purdy, Matt Stafford, I think, is still getting slept on. I know he's older. Like, those are the quarterbacks that you have to worry about in those teams.
Are we giving, I mean, I know he started all the games this year. Are we giving the benefit of the doubt to Jordan Love that we didn't give to Brock Purdy after a small sample size? Because of the first round pedigree?
I don't know. But he played well down the stretch.
He
played very well down the stretch. And he's got.
Played
his receivers were not healthy.
Adding Jacobs helps there too a lot.
Big time. Oh, I like Jacobs. But Aaron Jones was really good down the stretch.
Aaron Jones was really good too. And Josh Jacobs does get banged up. He does miss games. He does miss time. But Green Bay usually draft. I mean, they brought back A.J. Dillon. I don't know why. He did not look good last year whatsoever. No. I thought he was going to pop.
I thought he was going to be better just in general.
I thought he was going to be better. But they got all those wide receivers, all that speed. But I'm looking at Chicago, though. I can't help but look at Chicago. And what they did last year with the quarterback who, look, I remember Spadoni and I were talking after the Cleveland game. I remember that Cleveland. I watched the entire game, Cleveland and Chicago. And it says, Spadoni, I see why they're out on Justin Fields. His release is just too slow. He's late on passes. There's plays to be made. Their defense was suffocating Cleveland. Suffocating. And so now with Caleb and now with Roma Dune, they had reworked their entire receiver room. They're going to be a problem. And ask Detroit. Hey, the last caller here. Go look at those Detroit games against Chicago. Chicago should have swept their ass. Should have broomed them like Suns got broomed last night. All right? Let's go to Anthony and Sack. Anthony, what's happening?
Monte, Shasky, what's going on, boys?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, I love how that caller, that Seahawks fan, said, let's talk about it, makes his comment, and then hangs up the moment you guys try to push back a little bit. That's comedy. real quick, though, I wanted to say two things. Real quick, last week I remember calling in talking about Ben Sinnott. Adam Peters, man, ex-Niner, he comes to the Commanders. He liked what I saw in that. I like their draft, man. I really do. I'm excited to see what he can do, and I'm rooting for Adam Peters. I really am. You know, it's good to see him, you know, thriving and getting the credit he deserves. And I will say this, though, too, about the Niners. Bonte, I love what you said about the transparency. Me as a fan, I love that. You know, there's a thin line between, hey, we want to be honest with our players, but we also want to be better. We've been beat by the nemesis Kansas City Chiefs, yep. And we saw in press coverage we couldn't get open, right? So this Ricky Pearsall, if he could come in and just do a little thing, the little things that we weren't able to do, then, like, I'm all for it, man. Like, Purdy's only going to get better. He's not going to turn into a pumpkin like Jared Goff did. You know, he has that X factor in him. And I really want to see what a full offseason and OTAs and training camp would be with Brock Purdy and these new weapons, man.
I'm with you. Great call, Anthony. Great call.
Nobody believes in Goff, huh?
I like Goff a lot.
It's not that I don't believe in him, but you know, with Purdy, man, when the play breaks down, he's able to elude pressure and he keeps his eyes downfield. He's able to extend plays, something that Goff can't do. And he's not going to be a Jimmy Ono thrower, right? Yeah. He's going to put the ball in play, and every time he throws it, you guys are both going to agree, every time he throws the ball, we don't go, oh, crap, anymore. We go, oh, nice, right? So, you know.
I'm with you, Anthony, man. I really think Detroit's really good. Trust me, they're going to be around. They're going to be a problem. But I think we're underrating that division. Green Bay.
I started the segment by saying I think it's one of the best, most improved divisions in the league.
Green Bay. Going into Thanksgiving and just smoking Detroit. The game wasn't close. Detroit was reeling a bit down the stretch. They were. Their defense wasn't as great, and they lost C.J. Gardner-Johnson. How did they replace him? Now, I know he was hurt for most of the season. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving too much love to Chicago.
Well, Minnesota, I think, looks like they're going to take a step back. But, no, I'm looking at the NFC as a whole. Like, Tampa Bay stabilized. They had another decent draft. I think Jason Light or whatever his name is, the GM there, he drafts very well. And keeping Baker, you know, they beat the Eagles last year pretty thoroughly and went into Detroit and played a tight game.
Well, look at their draft here. I do like their draft.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Graham Jason Barton, Light hits.
Well, Graham Barton is center.
Yeah.
So you solidify the offensive line out of Duke.
Best interior lineman available.
You get Chris Braswell out of Alabama, edge rusher. All right. Adds to that defensive line. You get Tyke Smith, safety out of Georgia. We love Tyke Smith. He's a baller. Kirby Smart coached him up very, very well. He'll add to that secondary. Did you get Jalen McMillan out of Washington? A burner. Absolute burner.
Yeah, and if you're looking like pairing, you know, Mike Evans and Godwin with him, that's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice for Jalen McMillan. Yeah, nice
and
landing spot.
I think it
spot.
Fits what Baker wants to do.
And then Bucky Irvin at running back at Oregon.
See?
Runs tough. Breaks a lot of tackles.
So I'm looking at them. Like, they were a playoff team last year. I think they'll be a playoff team again this year.
They win that division.
I mean,
Atlanta.
I got to see it before I see it before I can believe New Orleans. Atlanta. I don't believe in New Orleans at all.
Carolina.
I mean, come on. Come on. Carolina had no picks. I mean, poor quarterbacks. Bryce has no chance.
No picks.
You woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up ready, man. I got a call right after I got jailed. He was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready.
I saw the emotion in your face in the video, but what were those emotions?
Overly excited, man, the whole time, and I really trying to hold my tears in for real, man. I told my folks I wasn't going to crack. I was trying to be tough guy, but, man, I was really overexcited.
Xavier LeCat, come on.
I mean,
Xavier LeCat.
Have you been paying attention to what happened with David Tepper, the owner of Carolina, over the weekend?
A little bit. A little bit.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
A little bit. I tried to stay away from David Tepper.
Did he throw water on another fan like he did last year?
No, but basically, there was a sign in a bar that said, please let the coach and GM pick this year. Yeah.
And he walked into there.
Tepper went in there and was arguing with him and is on like video footage. This guy just doesn't get it.
Yeah, he's out of control.
Like, I don't care how much money you made on Wall Street, buddy. Like, this is the NFL. Like, if I'm one of the other owners, I know he's mega rich and he's made a lot of money. This is a bad look for everybody.
They put up a Dan Snyder for 20 years.
Well, it's a bad look for David Tepper.
No, it's a bad look for the NFL ownership group because they're all...
Dude, Robert Kraft ain't thinking about David Tepper. Jed York is like, yo, this guy, check this guy.
It makes them all look bad.
I disagree with that. But it makes him look bad.
As low as it ever got with whatever owner here in the Bay, you don't see this. This is bad.
Yeah, he makes himself look bad.
Well, I don't consider, by the way, the Oakland A's owner. So, just throw him off to the side. But, this guy's a moron.
Not a smart owner.
Well, I feel bad for Bryce Young. He's got no shot with that owner.
Yeah. 650 mobile text line. It's funny how Adam Peters gets the credit for all the Niners' great picks and Lipscomb's blame for all the bad picks. Truth is, we don't know who picked who, which is very true, 650. Now, if this was all Lynch, we all liked the draft. There was no Adam Peters in there. There was no Rand Carthon in there.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.